Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning to you. Oh my gosh, we're back up on the air. Oh, so very happy about that. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. And a special thanks to Phil, who came in this morning to help us get going again on the air. Power outages, things going on all over the Pacific Northwest. And I just want to say we need to ramp up the prayers. And certainly stay connected to one another. It's interesting times that we live in. In the studio with me, we're going to get right to it, is my friend Jack Esp, right? That's how you say that? He is running for our district 21, and we are going to talk a little bit about running as a candidate and in these certain times. Good morning to you. Come on in. Did I pronounce your name right?
Except for one minor thing.
Oh, yes?
Please use an L in the middle.
Oh, Jack.
It's
L.
Without it, there's been some misinterpretation.
So you tell me how you like it to sound.
Just Jack L. Esp.
Oh, perfect. That sounds fine. And you're running for District 21 representative here at the State House. Tell me a little bit about your campaign and how's going with all this.
It's a different campaign this year, as you hear throughout the nation. Number one, door knocking is a thing of the past, which was one of the main things that you can do. Raising funds has been very difficult this round.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a paper campaign.
Yeah. You've been sending things in the mail to people, or you've been dropping things off at their door? How's that working?
More drop-off than mail.
Okay.
Again, because of the finance end of it.
So you are running for office, and you're challenging an incumbent, a Democrat who's been in, you said, 14 years, right?
Correct.
And so you have, not only do you have these restraints of COVID, and you have the restraints of funding and all of those things, what's been the response when you're talking to people and when you're able to connect? Talk to me a little bit about that.
It's amazing. One of my approaches is to address the non-aligned voter,
mm-hmm.
which is the neutral territory, so to speak. And I've got nothing but positive comments towards my campaign regarding those, and negative comments on what's going on in our state,
mm-hmm.
The direction it's going. So what little talking I've been able to do on the trail has been very encouraging.
Good.
Talking to people in everyday life, naturally I'm in areas more prone to be like I am, so that is also a very positive thing. But I'm noticing many Democrats
mm-hmm.
are changing attitude.
Well, what I found is that when I'm talking to people, they're like, if we want more of the same, vote the same, but we want something different. And they're wanting to make sure that the Democrats, the incumbents that aren't lining up with their values, that they're not voted in this time. And so maybe people are getting more attuned to what's going on, what the people's positions. Now, your district, District 21, I believe that I can vote for you. Yay, you're in my district. So you have one vote, right? Maybe two with Terry. So talk to me a little bit about where you're boundaries are. So people are like, I don't know what district I'm in. I'm not quite sure. And when you get your little voter card, it says, you know, for representative and senator and all of that, what districts you're in. That's how you can identify. Plus, I think you can go online and find out who. But where is your boundaries and borders?
Due to gerrymandering, it's very awkward to try to say, here's my district verbally.
Oh, wow.
Because it cuts and runs and is mm-hmm. very sporadic. The general thing I can say
mm-hmm.
is the northernmost part of the district is Hazel Green.
Okay.
The eastern part is Cordon Road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the most southern is Fairview Street
okay.
down south,
mm-hmm.
but that's only a short portion of it.
Okay.
And then it cuts back north. West is the river.
Okay.
So it comes, it's, like I said, it goes out as far as Hazel Green, but you get in town and Market Street is the separating point.
Oh, wow.
On the west side.
Okay.
So in order to know what district you're in, you need to go on the computer or look at your voter card.
Look at your voter card and know that way. So you were able to get your position statement in the book that's going to come out,
yes,
right? And
correct.
And you've got confirmation that, that it's in there, that it was received. That's kind of important this day and age, right?
Correct.
So talk to me a little bit about what you said in your position statement.
There you've got pretty much an outline for there, your education, your background, professional career, qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
Background, I was raised down in Southern Oregon, Eagle Point,
mm-hmm.
On a dairy ranch. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of a farm boy. I spent summers bucking hay, springs smudging pears,
mm-hmm.
beautiful jobs.
Practical jobs, right?
After I graduated, I went to college at both Oregon State and Southern Oregon. I graduated from Southern Oregon College with a degree in business administration, accounting concentration, with a minor in psychology and sociology.
Wow.
Now, the minor has helped me tremendously throughout mm-hmm. my career. After graduation, it wasn't very long after graduation, I accepted the position of controller of Providence Hospital in Medford, Oregon. And okay. I was there, I think, for 8 years working there, learning the hospital industry, which I continued and stayed in for over 40 years as either chief financial officer or administrator of hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Then after graduation, I ran a business consulting hospitals.
Awesome. And so when you did that, you do like an overview of how hospitals run, how to be effective, how to be cost effective, a lot of the manager type stuff, right?
It was all managerial work and directing personnel.
Yes.
A lot of it is cost containment,
mm-hmm.
budgeting,
mm-hmm.
and figuring out how to use what money you have.
So it's kind of like return on investment, making sure that you can be most effective at, for the consumer, but also to for viability in the future. All of these skills that you learn in the hospital, we transfer over to the state of Oregon, right?
They transfer to any business.
Mm-hmm.
And the state of Oregon is a business.
Absolutely.
Biggest in the state.
Yeah, and one of the biggest, probably the biggest employer, too, I'm guessing, in the state of Oregon, right?
I think school system is bigger.
The school system is bigger, wow. And so as we continue this conversation this morning, we'll be getting to a break here shortly. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We have a lot to cover this morning and a half a program, really, because of just getting up and running on the air. Thank you for tuning in this morning. And certainly we'll give you some updates here on what's going on with the fires and things like that. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning, friends. Thank you for tuning in on this Tuesday, September 8th. If it's your birthday, happy birthday to you. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Oh, crazy outside right now. Yesterday, we were at Silver Falls. Bree and her friend and I, we were hanging out there doing all the hiking and walking around the falls, and all of a sudden it started getting really hazy, and I was like, what's going on? You could kind of see the wind was picking up, and it just transitioned, and as we got to the top of the hill from the falls, you know, you could feel it in our lungs a little bit. We knew it was like not just someone's campfire. There's something going on, and there is something going on continuing through the night. We need to keep our firefighters and those on the front lines and those that are evacuating. I want to read this out of the Statesman Journal. Just updated at 7 a.m. this morning, multiple wildfires have broken out along Highway 22 in the San Yam Canyon, bringing a level 3 evacuation for everyone from Lyons, Mahima, through Idana, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, including Mill City and Detroit, emergency officials said. The sheriff's office expanded the evacuation order for areas west of Mahama to Cascade Highway southeast to South Highway 214. At 4:30 a.m., just before 5 a.m., the cities of Staten and Sublimity announced a level 2 get set evacuation notice, saying that the residents should be prepared to evacuate and be ready to take all pets, medications, and essential items with them. Numerous people on social media said Staten is under level 3 now. However, no official word has been communicated through the Marion County Sheriff's Office. Active flames and burning have been reported by evacuees along both sides of the North Santa Ana and Highway 22 between Mill City and the North Santa Ana State Recreational Site. So we're going to keep an eye on this. Marion County Sheriff issued a level 3 go now evacuation order. Covers communities along Mahama, east of Detroit, Idana, I think, I'm not quite sure how I'm saying that, including the towns of Mahama, Mill City, Gates, Detroit, and North Fork Corridor along the Cascade Highway. So these are things that we'll keep an eye on, certainly, and keep you in tune. Our weather today, going to see cloudy, hazy conditions because of the smoke and things going on. 86 degrees for a high, overnight low 53. Going to be really warm tomorrow, 97 degrees. And so we're going to continue to keep an eye. I know there was a fire, I believe, downtown Salem yesterday afternoon. Several power outages, PGE announcing this morning. They've cut power so that with the wind, there isn't more fires with electrical lines hitting the tree limbs and things like that. So we'll watch our Facebook page today. We'll try to keep things updated as we can. Of course, we're fighting. We fought power outages here. That's why we were off the air. And I certainly appreciate your patience and your prayers as we all get through this. One more thing, right? Getting it through together and continuing an effort to stay educated and empowered and knowing what's going on as we move towards the election. We continue to have candidates in here that line up with our values and who we can get behind. And I'm really excited to introduce to you. In fact, I found out just not too long ago I can vote for him. So here's the candidate, Jack L. Esp. E-S-P. Jack L. Esp. Jack, glad to have you here. Thank you so much for being here and being your patience with us. Is like Phil said, come on, let's go. And at 7:22, it's like we're on the air finally, right? And thank you for hanging out with me today. And you get to kind of see behind the scenes. But you said you've done this before. You've been on TV and radio, so you're kind of already prepared for just winging it in a sense, right? I appreciate your time. And talk to me a little bit about, as you look at being a candidate, you know, what kind of qualifications should you have and do you have to become a candidate and be an elected official at the State House here in Salem for Oregon?
I think the qualifications need to be broad, mm-hmm. not direct. I have lived farming community, know what's going on there. I lived in Southern Oregon where there was the timber industry, went through the spotted owl fiasco down there. And the damage, and it's continued ever since. Politically, I feel that my foremost qualifications to represent the voters of House District 21 is the fact that I have experience in paying attention to the bills and what's within each of these bills. I gained that through working with Oregon Citizens Lobby for the last 4 or 5 years, where we would meet weekly while the legislature's in session, analyze bills, talk to the representatives, go testify in front of committees, and actually we rated the legislators on how they responded to our five values. Beyond that, I started working with the Umatilla County Republican Central Committee, was an officer in that organization. While I lived over there. Also, during that time, I was one of the organizers and officers of the Greater Hermiston Area Tea Party. Since then, I've moved over here. I'm a member of the Marion County Republican Central Committee. And as I said, I'm very active with the Oregon Citizens Lobby, working around the Capitol, meeting the various legislatures, seeing how the Capitol works from a semi-inside situation. I have not been going to, or can't actually go to, the caucus meetings and things like that.
Yeah. One of the things I notice, and I think it's important for our listeners to realize, And I'm guessing most of our listeners understand that. But if you're new to the station, maybe you don't know this. If you haven't spent any time at the Capitol, I was shocked moving here in January. And I think one of the first times we met was at one of those meetings, right? The citizens meetings. And I was shocked how many of these committee meetings are already predetermined who gets to speak. Who gets, because of the supermajority, they control everything. And so even our representatives, if we don't have a major shift where that supermajority has changed here at the state capitol, we're going to have more of the same. So it's so important, friends, that we vote for those that line up with our values. And the issues that you're running on line up, Jack, that you line up with my values. Thank you for taking the time to run and putting your time, treasure, and talent, you know, forward. What are your major issues? And talk a little bit about that.
Well, first I want to say something what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of our good state representatives, Bill Post,
mm-hmm.
who represents across the river,
mm-hmm.
is very frustrated because of what's going on at the Capitol now with the supermajorities.
Right.
I've heard, not from him, but roundabout, that he cannot even get a bill put before the House because of the supermajority.
Wow.
It's important, like you say, that we break that supermajority.
Yeah, it is.
Now, in order to do that, we need to elect some Republicans
mm-hmm.
that are, like you say, in line with what we feel. In the voters' pamphlet, I've listed six things, that I feel are very important to Oregon. Number one is the Oregon economy.
Yes.
With coronavirus, it's double whammied. But with all the taxes being passed by these supermajorities and the regulations, businesses are closing left and right throughout Oregon. Now, what does this really mean? All right, so we lost mom and pop's grocery store down the street that hires three people. There's three people off of the employment record.
Mm-hmm.
That means three people aren't paying taxes. The business isn't paying taxes. On top of that, those three people are drawing unemployment. It's a double whammy to the state.
Mm.
Employment and finances for the state are ran through businesses. They're the ones that hire people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you damage businesses, you're damaging the economy.
Yes.
Reducing taxes. These taxes that are passing are ridiculous, like the 1.2 cat tax, or I call it sales tax, on businesses that was passed last summer. Who pays that? The corporation? No. The consumer. It's passed right down the line. I have over 40 years experience as a finance officer. I know how that works.
There's an interesting thing about that, because I've noticed on my receipts, and I haven't really investigated, but even when I've gone through takeout, And one of the things that always is interesting to me in Oregon, because there's not a quote-unquote sales tax at point of purchase like there is in so many states. It's like $1 is $1. But now it's like $1.09 or $1, you know, $1.87. Do you want to donate your change? It's like, why do I have change? It should be an even amount. Well, they're passing it on to the consumer. These taxes, what you're talking about. And they passed it during special session?
No, tax was passed last summer.
Okay.
At the regular session.
What did they do just recently during special session?
I forget which the tax. It was a small tax. I do know. Broadband tax.
A broadband tax.
For rural communities.
Wow.
And it was supposedly going to lower the landline rates.
Mm.
Well, we know how that works.
Well, and it's sneaky. It's sneaky. And we're supposed to be able to vote on these, and we're supposed to have representation, right? And a lot of times in what I've seen in Arkansas and also in South Dakota, you need more than just a majority. You need, you know, to vote on a tax. Well, you can't even oppose this. This is why there's been walkouts in the past, right? Because that's the only power the Republicans had.
Now, you speak of that. As it sits right now, if the Democrats gain 2 seats in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
the walkout won't work in the Senate.
Wow.
They will have a total plurality to where they have a quorum-proof Senate.
Wow.
Now, that just means it goes through the Senate. That doesn't necessarily mean it goes through the House, but that's mm-hmm. one step closer.
Wow.
And that only takes two. So...
Well, and I know people are upset that there was a lot of talk about when the walkout happened on the House and the Senate side the last couple of years here in Oregon. They're like, people are we're hiring them to do their job, blah, blah, blah. Well, people don't understand with a supermajority, you don't have a chance to actually stop a bill because or even have your comments heard or have your testimony heard. There's no fairness, I guess, is what I'm getting to right now in the Oregon State Capitol. Everything is being changed rapidly without several of Oregonians getting their part heard. And I think that's time to change. I'm so glad you're here to talk to us. I've got a few more questions when we come back from this break, okay?
Right.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We'll be back after this. Salem, hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to have you listening this morning. We're glad to be up and running again after being off the air. Want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland with Country Financial Sunderland Agency for being a sponsor this morning. You can get a hold of him at 503-885-0789. Continuing the conversation this morning, and we are, oh my gosh, 8 weeks away from the election. I've got Jack in the studio with me, and he is running for representative in District 21, which we tried to kind of define the district, but because of the way that the way that they've gerrymandered, is that what you said, the district, and which is something that they used to do old days, and you know, and there was laws generally in the United States that tried to prevent that. But when you again have a supermajority in a state, they can kind of make the rules as they want to make the rules. And so I found that coming back into Oregon, how critical this election is beyond. And I know every election, oh, this election's the most. I know we hear that and we can kind of, you know, lose our sensitivity. But really, friends, in Oregon, this is a critical election. And we were talking about the walkout last session and last year, the year before that. That was like people criticizing them about doing their job. And, Jack, you made a comment. These people are doing their job when they walk out, right?
Exactly. It's the only way they had to stop some of the extreme bills that were before the legislature.
Yes, and there have been some incredible bills coming before the legislature, and I do think that we have an opportunity to take our state back. We can gain some ground, and if we vote red, and if we vote the incumbents out, when someone's been elected for 14 years, when someone's been in, you know, Governor Brown has been in since for 29 years, since 1991, she's been in the system. And when I kind of chuckle when I hear her say, oh, we've got to eradicate this and we got to, wait a minute. You've been elected official for how long and you haven't addressed it? What makes you think, you know? So we need to get some new people in there with their experience and their insight. And I think that's what you bring to the table, Jack, is you bring enthusiasm, a fresh set of eyes, your experience working in healthcare and with the hospitals and that kind of thing. What do you look most forward to by being a representative?
It is my opinion that this one election, unless something wonderful happens, is not going to solve the whole problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to get a balance back in state government.
Mm.
My opinion, and I'll have some Republicans beat me over the head over this, is that neither party should have total control of the House, the Senate, and the governor's chair. It should be a 2-1 split at all times. And that would be my ultimate goal. Beyond that, I have listed here, that'll be in the voter's pamphlet, 6 top issues that I think need to be addressed within our state. And I will throw my support behind those issues to get the result I feel we need.
One of my values, and I'm so happy we've talked about this off air, is the life issue. You're very supportive of life, all life, from conception to natural death. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, for several years, I've been endorsed by Oregon Right to Life. I believe it goes beyond abortion and the unborn fetus. I believe it's at the other end, too, mm-hmm. with this euthanasia.
Yes.
I guess the only thing. I think God gave us life. God is the only one that can take life, mm-hmm. in my field. No, rephrase that. He isn't the only one that can take life. He is the only one that should take life.
Well, and I think in Oregon, having elected officials that have that perspective of embracing life and protecting life, when we take the oath of office, we say we're going to do so, right? And it's like a contradiction out of the chute if we don't protect all life. And we have a lot of work to do in Oregon, don't we?
We do, but your statement there, I'm going to expand a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Our governor, mayor of Portland, police commissioner of Portland, whoever you want to say, when they went into their office, they swore to uphold the laws of Oregon and the United States of America.
Mm.
Why the blank aren't they?
That's so true. That's so true. And you know the number one issue for voters right now, other than making sure we have power and the fire issue today, is security and safety. That all kind of plays in. And when you have elected leaders not standing for law and order, that says a lot.
Now, that's one of the things I do strongly believe law and order needs to be supported, both the state and the U.S. Constitution. Things listed on here as sanctuary cities and states. Hey, that's in violation of law.
Mm.
They're protecting a class of people who broke the law by being here.
Right.
So we're standing against our own laws. If they don't like how the laws are, change them.
Mm-hmm.
Legally.
Go through a process, and that's continues to be my stand with all that's going on in Portland right now, and is that there is a process. You know, yes, they can protest and say they don't like what's going on either locally or nationally, but when it starts hurting people or property, it's no longer a protest. It's now a riot, and that needs to be stopped.
I totally support peaceful protest. Mm-hmm. I participate in them here at the Capitol routinely.
Mm-hmm.
But I am totally against rioting and damaging personal property or injuring personal beings.
Mm-hmm. How can I get a hold of you? What is the best way to get a hold of you?
To learn information, the best way is to go to my website, ESPforOregon2020.us, all lowercase, ran together.
Okay.
And you can get to Facebook, you know, just typing in Jack S. for representative.
And is there a way in the voter guide, will there be a phone number, too, to contact you or call you? I have a friend who listens and says, you know, I don't have internet. I don't have an access that way. Is there just a way people could call to talk to you over the phone?
They can. My phone number, and I carry it with me 90% of the time, I'm not today, is 541-377-8701. I don't believe that's included in the voter's pamphlet.
Okay, but we can get a hold of you, and if you want to get a hold of Jack, I know how to get a hold of him. So what do you want? What's your, like, your elevator speech? Like, if I just met you in passing and you were trying to convince me in the minute or so we have left, what would be your little spill?
My spill would be, what is your main concern? To find out what you're keyed in on,
mm-hmm.
and then respond to that. I'm going to use K-12 as an example.
Okay.
Oregon, prior to the passing of the CAT tax, spent more than the national average per student and had one of the lowest graduation rates in the state or in the nation. Now, the legislature decided to pass the CAT tax, or I call the corporate sales tax, of $1.2 billion a year for schools.
Hmm.
Now, I don't like where it went. It didn't get to the regular student. It went to special needs. So the regular student isn't affected. That's not going to affect the statistics that much. But more important, some of that money should have been used or should be used to do a full analysis of the Oregon State school system, K through 12, and then compare it to the top two or three in the nation. to make some headway.
That's such a good way to end our time today. We got a short program today. Will you come back closer to the election and talk to us more about how it's going and give us a reminder? Would that be all right?
I'd be happy to.
We'll have you back on the show. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. Thank you for being here, Jack. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what we're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Watch our Facebook page at KSLM Radio. We'll give you updates on what's going on in the fire. Have a great day.